Well, good evening, everyone. Have we got that stream worked out there, Joel? No? Okay. Well, our page went down. I'm not sure why, so we're just... Joel's working on that, so... Yeah. Well, if you could turn your Bibles to 1 Peter, please. Chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And when you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. And we'll just read three verses. I'll read them if you can follow along. 1 Peter 3, 7 through 9. 1 Peter 3, 7 through 9. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you. We pray that you give us a good evening in your word, and we've already had a good time as we've sung these songs of worship and praise. We just pray that you'd help us to be ready now to receive what you would have for us in your word. We ask that you be with those that are at home and unable to be here. We pray that we could get the stream, live stream, working in and have it ready for them. And we pray that you'd meet the needs of those that, Lord, have health issues. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Sister Annie. We thank you for some of the improvements that we're seeing there. We pray that you continue that. We ask that you'd be with, again, that you give safety to Brother Kyle and Logan as they head down to the coast. And as Jen and is home with the children, we just thank you for the help that they have. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. So we're picking up here in verse 7 of 1 Peter. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. One commentary that I read, it's written by D.A. Waite. I know him a little bit. Took a course from him once in Manitoba. He's a good, godly man. And he says about this verse, when it says dwell with them according to knowledge, that the word there, that dwell, has to do with actually like the domestic aspect of dwelling in the home, but also that it can be referring to spiritually speaking. Not only in the domestic things, like for instance, I seek to know what makes my wife happy and what doesn't make her happy, so that I can dwell with her according to knowledge. You know, there are certain things that really I've learned, and I'm still learning, and I'm still trying to put into practice. That really, if I just did some of these small projects on a regular basis, as far as you know, tidying up after myself, that kind of thing, and the children, that would make life go a whole lot better. And so, dwelling with them according to knowledge, you find out how we can best live together. But then spiritually and even emotionally, you find out how does this person work? You know, I give an example. We were at this homeschool function last week, and with our family, we were playing some table games, and Emily said, why don't we call it a night? And I said, well, we just got started. And then she looked at me and she said, nobody's having fun. And I thought, well, I was having fun. Okay, let's pack this up. so you learn to dwell with them according to knowledge. You find out, okay, well, you know, what makes them happy? What is working? What is not working? It's a two-way street, obviously. We each part of the relationship, we've got to learn to dwell with each other. In such a way that it's harmonious. So dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. We talked about this last week, about how not only do we see the man supposed to be giving honor to the woman, but we see the woman addressed earlier, told to give honor to her husband, just as Sarah did. So it's It's mutual. Then we come up to this phrase, as unto the weaker vessel. And this, again, is a verse that some women might raise their hackles. They might think, well, am I less than a man? And we would say, certainly not. A woman is not less than man. Mentioned last week of how when you look at the ministry of Christ, who was it that only that followed Christ? Who was it that followed the apostles? Who was it that gave of their selflessly of their money in the ministry? We see many times that it was women. Like I've said before, I firmly believe that when Scripture says the first shall be last and the last shall be first, so there'll be a lot of women in heaven that are ahead of the men because of their service down here on earth. And so I think we are very much wrong if we have the wrong type of relationship and view them as lesser beings, because women are not. Notice there that, first of all, that phrase, weaker vessel. Isn't it interesting how this, not only in this passage here, but in other passages of Scripture, we come across that word vessel as in a reference to our body. And you think about it, our body is just like a vessel. It is there. It holds who you are. And just like a vessel that is cracked and broken, a physical vessel, if you have a cup that's broken, you know, the water spills out of it, or whatever happens, it goes. I was trying to sneak an itchy band little bag yesterday. We were working. Jeremy and I were working on a project for the craft night, and I was getting a little hungry, so I found some itchy band in our pantry. I was like, oh, because I knew supper was coming soon, and I popped the one end, stuffed some of the seasoning in there, and shook it, and then the bottom ripped out, and everything spread on my floor, and I'm like, oh. But you know, it that vessel was broken. Everything fell out of it. And, you know, in a similar fashion, our bodies are vessels, and our bodies, they break. Sometimes they can be glued together. Sometimes it's the end, and our spirit and soul, they depart this vessel. So the Apostle Paul refers to the woman as the weaker vessel. So think about that vessel as a container. And we know there's all sorts of different vessels in physical life. We have vessels that hold liquids, solids, even gases. So all sorts of vessels. And I know there's all sorts of illustrations, but how I would illustrate this is a woman being like fine china, and the man maybe being a little bit more industrial, all right? And, you know, you can do that, whereas you wouldn't just toss this, would you? And so God has made the woman to be more like a fine china. And so a woman can be hurt a little bit more easier sometimes. A woman can be fatigued or physically drained sometimes a little bit more. That being said, I know there's been times when my wife, my mother-in-law, I'm thinking of, my own mom, has outdone me physically, you know, as far as endurance. There's been times where we're working on a project, maybe it's someone's wedding, and there's something that kind of went awry, we've been there. And my sister-in-law's wedding, the bridesmaids' dresses, they all ripped, one of them ripped, and it became evident that the seamstressing was not going to work, so they had to be redone. And there I was, after midnight, cutting patterns while my mother-in-law and Emily and my mom were helping out in this. I had to eventually call it. I had to go to bed. I was done. I had no more physical strength. And yet they did. So a man sometimes has more of this, has more physical strength to lift a heavy object But over the long haul, sometimes, you know, women, they've still got it in a different way. And you think about, guys, I've toted a kid around, and I'm like, man, how does my wife do this? You know, just don't have the right proportions, or can't, you know, the right dimensions there. But anyway, what it doesn't mean is that a woman is not mentally less intelligent, and you'll find that there are many times when women are more intelligent than men. They're often brighter. I believe it has to do with, you know, more of the physical strength. Again, not necessarily fatigue, but physical strength. I've had some women as partners in the ambulance before, and I remember one time as one lady, I was intentionally taking more of the lifting, and she said to me, "Do you think I can't do this or something?" I said, "No, I'm just trying to protect your back. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to be a gentleman," sort of thing. And you know, she eventually did end up going off on a back injury, and could not go back into the industry. She didn't need to prove herself to me. I knew she could do the job. I was just trying to help her. So that's one area. Then another area is the area of emotional strength. God has intentionally made a woman to be an emotional creature, to soothe, to comfort, you know, particularly as we think of those that are married and have children. To have that tenderness with a child that a man was not engineered with. Now, those of us who are men and who have children or grandchildren, we ought to be very careful and try to be like pattern our Heavenly Father. You think of Psalms 103, that the Scripture says there that He pities us as children. He knows that we are but dust. And so we ought to try to have a degree of tenderness. But God has made women with a larger amount of that emotional tenderness. And that's a good thing. But in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a distressing situation, sometimes it's the man that is able to stand up and to be there for his wife. And I know that in our family, I've had to do that. And that I believe that is one of the areas that God calls a man to stand up and be that rock in that relationship. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock, but in a relationship, that man should be that rock during the emotional crises that they're going through. Now, on the flip side, sometimes the man has insecurities or doubts or things, and his wife is able to be a rock for him. So, you know, it's fluid. But as a general rule, the Apostle Peter here is saying that the women are the more fragile vessel, but also the more beautiful too, right? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, not I'm up here, you're down here, heirs together of the grace of life. And we talked about this last week, but notice that your prayers be not hindered. If we have a disproportionate relationship, if we treat our spouse in a way we ought not to, our prayers are hindered, and we don't want that. Pick it up in verse 8 now. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. Well, go back to the first thought there in verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind. Be all of one mind. We see that in Scripture fairly often, don't we? We see it in Book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Romans 12, 16. Well, even backing up to verse 15 to get some context. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. and weep with them that do weep. We have a sister verse to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage that refers to the local church as the body of Christ and the different members within that body. And so he says here, rejoice in hope. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. These two verses tell us we have to be in harmony. Just like if I was to play a C on my violin, we've given this illustration before, but over on the piano, if I had the C, if I had the same note, same pitch, frequency, you would be able to feel the C strings on that piano vibrating as they are in harmony. My violin would have elicited that response as it's causing the vibrations in the waves. And in the same sort of manner, we are to be in harmony with each other. We are to be sensitive to other people's needs. We're to rejoice when they're rejoicing. When they tell us, oh, God's been so good to me this week. Look what he's done. We should say, yes, praise the Lord. And when someone says, oh, you know, just one trial after another, we get behind them and we say, oh, I'll be praying for you, you know. You can get through this. And maybe the Lord will give us a verse that we can share. Maybe he will give us a situation where we can say, yeah, this is what happened to me. I can kind of sympathize with you. We got to be careful in those kinds of situations that we don't probe. I've had many situations like that, and I try very hard not to dig, because if a person's wanting to talk, they will, as long as they understand. You can discuss this with me if you want. If not, that's totally fine too. Whatever you're most comfortable with. So we are to be of one mind. If they're rejoicing, we're rejoicing. If they're going through a sorrowful time, it should cause us sorrow as well. Be of one mind toward another. So it's commanded there. Notice now in Romans 15:5. Now there is our component to being of one mind. We have to have a will to do it. Because if I purpose in my heart and I say, you know what, I have no interest in being with one mind with anybody, or I have no interest in being with one mind with that person or that person, then there's going to be a problem. And God is he's not going to override that. He will likely prick my heart first with the Holy Spirit and then chasten me if I'm in error. But we interestingly, in Romans 15:5, we see that God plays a role in helping us to be like-minded. Take a look now at verse 5, Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. That, verse 6, ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? So God gives us the patience and consolation. He's the God of patience and consolation. He grants us to be like-minded one toward another. Of course, there again, we have to be yielded ourselves. We cannot be fighting that. We have to want it. We have to want to be like-minded. And then you notice in verse 6, what's the reason? Why do we want to be like-minded? I mean, this is one of many reasons. But it says in verse 6, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God. Am I going to glorify God if I am at odds with a brother or a sister? And I just say, no, I'm not going to be with one mind with them. It's discordant before God. So God grants unity of mind if we are yielded. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same manner and in the same judgment. That there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Perfectly joined, like a puzzle. Like the puzzle pieces that are fitting together. That's the way the Lord wants us to be. I mean, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the eyes, the ears, the nose. We make up that local body of Christ. And that nose better not be over here. You know, it's got to be perfectly fitted. In this passage here, you'll remember that the context is in reference to those that said, I'm following Apollos. I'm following Cephas or Peter. I'm following the Apostle Paul. I'm following Christ. All these different voices saying, I'm following this person, I'm following that person. When we are to follow Christ. Now we can follow someone's example, as the Apostle Paul himself said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's fine. That's key there is as I follow Christ. And we ought not to be kind of like a groupie, you might say, or where we're just intensely following this one person. And I think particularly as we look at the matter of the local church, you know, I have people that, different pastors that I listen to, you know, some different sermons or whatever. And I had a sermon, I had Brother Kyle, I've asked him in the past because I know he listens to a lot when he's driving. And I've asked him, I said, you know, if you get a good one, send me a good message. And he sent me one today or yesterday. And today I was listening to it. I had one hand on my phone listening to it like this while I was operating a sander. And but you know what? I'm not going to say, oh, I have to listen to every single message of this pastor. Our needs are supposed to be met within the constraints of the local church. And so I'm not going to be a follower of this person. I'm not going to go in and go to all of their conferences and go to their church. And some people do that, though. And it becomes idol worship. In 1988, our family was down in Santa Clara, California. And I've given this illustration before, but some of you might have not heard of it. I remember listening to this. There's a group of us young people there, and there's this one young man that said, he says, I got this close to Jack Hiles. Oh, neat. Great. I was stunned. I was 16 years old, and I was like, or 15. And I was like, what's so big of a deal about that? He's a man. You know, and he had a cult-like following when he was alive. And so we're not to be followers like that. And in this passage here in 1 Corinthians 1, we have these different people saying, I follow this person, I follow this person. We're not supposed to follow Christ. We're supposed to have to be like-minded, as we read in verse 10, to speak the same thing. There'd be no divisions among us, perfectly joined together. We're not to be polarized like that. We need to prayerfully be looking for unity. We have to give grace for each other. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. We have here the Apostle Paul. And he's addressing Euodias and Syntyche, and he says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. We don't know what the case was. We don't know what was going on here. But we believe that there was there was a division between these two women. The apostle Paul is writing that church and says, be of one mind. Don't be divided. Don't be harboring these problems, these evil thoughts between yourselves. Okay, let's take a look in the same book now, going back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Well, read verses 1 through 3. Philippians 2, 1 through 3. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We didn't need to read those last three verses for the context of being like-minded, but I wanted to finish the thought off there. Didn't want to leave Christ here being obedient to the cross. We want to see where that led to. But notice there, so we're supposed to have bowels and mercies. That bowels of mercies, that's not speaking about your inward bowels. That's speaking about the love, the deep-seated love. That's where it's, the bowels comes into it, the deep-seated love that a person has and the mercy that they have for others. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. We're supposed to have the same love, the same mind to each other. Notice there, let nothing be done through strife. If we find ourselves doing something out of strife, then we need to stop. We need to say, okay, Lord, if I'm supposed to continue in this, help me to have the right spirit. Help me to have the right attitude. Then notice that, second half of that verse, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know what? The heart of most strife is pride. And each one of us can be guilty of that. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. If we esteem someone else better than ourselves, are we going to strive with them? Yes, we have to contend for the faith. Yes, we have to stand up if there's something that's done that's wrong, if something that's taught that's wrong, a practice that's wrong. But if we're esteeming each other better than ourselves, if we have that humble mind which Christ had, there's that the personality, the emotion that gets all wrapped up in there dissolves. Okay, let's see here. I'll read for you, since we're in the New Testament, I'll just read for you. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. We can certainly associate with the dew of Hermon. I have a hard time, of course it's a cultural thing, but I have a hard time imagining with joy oil dripping down my face. But that was special, that when they were anointed that way, running down the beard. But anyway, the main point there is how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Ephesians 4, 1 through 8. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. You know, quite often unity is broken because we get tired of somebody. We get tired of something they do. And we no longer forbear them. And we blow up, or we say something that we ought not to. We're not careful with our lips. We're to forbear, to put up, to be long-suffering with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, what does that mean? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the Holy Spirit gives a unity, and it's like a bond of peace, a bond that clamps us together, a bond that glues us together. And that's what we're supposed to try to endeavor to keep. He enables it. The Holy Spirit enables us to have that bond. But we have to endeavor. Because if we get in the flesh and start living out the lusts of the flesh, and you think of the passage there in Galatians 5 that precedes the fruit of the Spirit, those areas that are the fruits of the flesh, you know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, contention or strife is what variance means. Emulations, which means excitement of mind, fervor of spirit, usually used in a poor in an ungodly connotation, but can mean when someone is positively vexed. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So when a person has the fruits of the flesh in their spirit, they will destroy that bond of peace. They will destroy the unity of the Holy Spirit. There is one body, Ephesians 4:4, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there's one Lord. And so the Lord here is saying that we are to recognize that it's not my faith and your faith and someone else's faith, all these different faiths. We have one faith. And we're supposed to endeavor to live together. We recognize, yes, that we don't join hands with ungodliness. We are separate from the world. We understand that. We're talking about within the constraints of a local church. And of course, it can be churches that are of like mind, like faith. We're supposed to keep that. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says that we're to esteem them very highly in love. And in the context, the preceding verse is in reference to those that labor. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Let's take a look at James chapter 3. Sometimes you say, well, you know, like, how do these things, how do you actually do this? And so we've talked about some of these things. One is, We have to will it, but it is in the power of the Lord. So we have to be we have to be prayerfully attempting to keep the endeavoring to keep the bond of peace. We talked about the fact that we have to be humble. We have to have a humble spirit. We talked about the fact that we have to be long suffering, and it can be hard to be long suffering. But we've got to keep forgiving others that wrong us. And. In this verse here, this passage we're going to read, we see that making peace is a prerequisite. So James 3, verses 17 and 18. Well, actually, let's back up. Verse 13. The preceding verses talk about the tongue, so just to keep that in the context here. So in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Don't you love verse 18? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The Lord calls us to be peacemakers, to actively endeavor to be a peacemaker and not the peacemaker Colt pistol, true peacemakers. So here are some of the practical ways in which we can live peaceably, be of one accord, one mind. Let's go back to our text, 1 Peter chapter 3. So finally, be ye all of one mind, verse 8, having compassion one of another. Well, we talked about that from Romans chapter, I think it was 15, verse 5. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans 15, 5, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that do weep. So having compassion one of another. It's a genuine care. A true, genuine care. Love as brethren. Because that's what we are, as believers. We're brethren. We're family. Be pitiful. That means to show pity. Show pity. Be courteous. Just if you give me one second here, I want to look up that word. I looked it up earlier today, and I've forgotten what that... I was going to give the definition on that. Courteous. The Strong's definition here. Courteous. Friendly of mind. Friendly of mind. Someone asked me jokingly, well, can you just pretend? And when I read this, I was like, no, you can't. Friendliness of mind actually has to emanate from your heart, your mind, and then you do it. It has to. It cannot just be, it cannot. We cannot pretend. Sometimes as much as a person might like to. So finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Okay, well, we'll end right there, and then, Lord willing, next, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we'll pick it up with verse 9. I'll just tell my dad right now, by the way, Dad, I need to get you to preach on Wednesday, so there you go. You got notice. Okay, okay, we'll close with those thoughts. Dear me, Father, we come before you, and we thank you for these verses. We thank you that you do make different vessels. And Lord, we have the vessels that Lord, you've made the man. You've made him with his strengths and with his weaknesses. And you've made the woman for his helpmeet and Lord, for the mutual help that they give each other. And Lord, we thank you that you've made her in such a way that she is more of an emotional person by nature. Lord, we thank you that many are also more spiritual, or that they seem more attuned to you. Lord, we pray that we would treat each other appropriately within the marriage relationship, according to knowledge. And Lord, we pray for the larger body of Christ, going beyond the marriage relationship. Lord, we pray that you'd help the believers within the body to love each other, to respect each other, to esteem each other better than themselves, to be humble, to be peacemakers. Lord, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, we pray that you would be with us as we go to prayer now. We pray that you would help us be mindful of those requests that we have to bring before your throne. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.